Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Let's play.
Ah, yes. Are we there yet? It could apply to the Democratic nominating process, but how many of you have heard that refrain from your back seat, although perhaps not quite as melodically, and wish that Star Trekian transporter technology was a reality for your children? Wouldn't you risk having your atoms scrambled if it meant you didn't have to hear your six-year-old scream, "I feel carsick," for the 80th time? Why is it, as my friend Marty Goldenson says, that there's no such thing as a vacation with children, just a change of venue? Well, it doesn't have to be that way. Through a combination of careful planning and the installation of what one of my next guests calls airplane behavior, you too can have a fun and, yes, even relaxing family vacation with your children this summer. Here now is Wendy Perrin, consumer news editor at Condé Nast Traveler. She is our guest every Thursday this month when she'll be talking about travel as part of our Unraveling Traveling series. And today we'll be talking about traveling with kids. Hi, Wendy. Welcome back to WNYC.
Oh, thank you, Brian. Great to be here.
So am I right in thinking that rule number one of traveling with very small children on an airplane is do not pack the favorite stuffed animal in the checked luggage?
Oh, absolutely. That favorite stuffed animal is your most prized possession. I mean, with the exception of your child, of course. And you cannot lose that. In fact, I would recommend to all parents, before they head out to the airport or on the road with their child's favorite comfort toy, buy another one, like just in case, just so you have an identical stuffed animal. Because if you lose it, I mean, really, it can just throw your entire life into havoc.
Or something that I've done, a new one, not necessarily stuffed animal, new whatever it is, so that the kid will have something that's new and shiny and, you know, taking of their positive attention during the stressful travel part.
Definitely on plane trips, I find that if you pack a few new toys that you can surprise them with, kind of like every hour as the flight goes by, every hour on the flight, introduce them to something new, it helps a lot.
It's amazing how much mileage I can get with my two boys out of a couple of packs of baseball cards.
I have two boys as well. How old are yours?
10 and 15.
Oh, okay. Mine are 4 and 6.
So what seems to cause the most stress about travel with children? Is it the actual travel part or being in a different place without all the usual stuff?
Well, for me, it's being in the close confines of an aircraft. I think that's the hardest part, is being with your kids in a place, you know, especially on a long-haul flight where they can't kick the seat in front of them. You know, they can't move around easily. They have to stay in their seats. I find it's very difficult, especially with, you know, very active young boys. I mean, at least if you're on a long car trip, you can stop the car, you can run around on the side of the road. But of course, often you can't run around on the airplane.
Listeners, we want to know your non-obvious great places to travel with children. Don't call about Disney World, but call about anywhere else. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. You know, places that are sophisticated enough for your savvy New York grown-up, but also fun for the kids. 212-433-9692. And how about tips for getting through the experience, whether you're traveling by car, traveling by plane, whatever. And we will talk to a former airline flight attendant who has something to say about this in a couple of minutes in this conversation. But your call is for Wendy Perrin, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Where have you gone?
Where have I gone with my kids?
Uh-huh.
Well, we were just in Spain a couple of months ago, in southern Spain, actually. We rented a villa outside of Granada. And it's great. I find that renting houses works really well for families with kids, as long as it's not a house with a lot of fancy furniture and stuff that could get stained or little, you know, hollowed out eggs that can break.
Don't sit on that couch.
Right. But it's because it gives you a kitchen. You can cook your meals there. Again, as long as there's nothing that can get broken or stained, you have a lot more space with your family, apartments in cities as well. And, you know, you get more for your dollar that way as well, you know, especially these days with the dollar being so weak.
One of the things that I know causes stress for parents is food, particularly if you have picky eaters. And you're out of your routine.
Well, it's always good to bring a lot of snacks with you. And I mean, like, for instance, when we were in Spain, I took a ton of Clif bars, like Z bars. They have these organic Z bars for kids. I love that, you know, because they don't dump a lot of sugar in your bloodstream all at once. It's just like bit by bit. They have a lot of so I bring power bars.
You took them all the way to Spain and you fed them Clif bars?
Well, no, I mean, for car trips, I mean, you don't want to stop by the side of the road and just get a whole lot of potato chips and feed them that. No, we went to the supermarket in Spain and got all kinds of cool types of yogurt for kids that they don't have here, but they had there. Chocolate yogurt is now my kids' favorite thing.
You know what I find in terms of the travel part? You know, car is always a nightmare. Airplane is always a nightmare. Train is a great way to travel with kids if you can. They have a little more room to move around than either of the other two. And the whole thing is just a little bit more laid back.
And they're so excited to look out the window. And there's always something different out the window. It's not just the clouds. Like, that's all you have outside the window on the airplane. But you have all the scenery. We play all sorts of games on the train. Like, okay, what do you see that begins with the letter A? What do you see that begins with the letter B? And you can do that for a whole train trip.
Yeah, that lasts for about 15 minutes in my experience. I don't want to do this anymore. I know
well,
the
then you
alphabet.
But then you bring with you, you know, like your, you know what I love is Color Wonder paper from Crayola, Color Wonder paper and markers because it's invisible ink.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't get, if you know, it doesn't stain anything. And also like Imaginetics play sets, like kind of like color forms, only they're magnets.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, for the little kids. Or even cards, regular deck, Uno, whatever.
Uno.
For slightly older kids. And you know, what does work a little bit, especially at least with my two, is to get them to compete with each other on that alphabet thing. Identify this. Who's going to be the first one to see a cow? You know?
Yep.
Then, of course, you get the fight. I saw it first. No, I saw it first. You said it first, but I saw it first.
Right. Great for sibling rivalry.
Speaking of air travel, let's say that I have a child under two. Do I spring for the seat or do I economize by letting them sit on my lap?
Well, I hate to say this because it may be assuming some people can afford it, but I think it's always really important to buy a seat, unless the child is so small, like just such a little infant that it's really not going to move at all in your arms. Of course, then the problem is if you've got the infant in your arms, you can't get up to go to the bathroom unless you hand it to somebody else. But I've found, especially with my kid, I mean, there was no way they couldn't. I could keep them on my lap. If they're on your lap, first of all, there's no other space. You can't put down the tray table. You can't like reach under the seat in front of you to get out all the toys to play with and put them on the tray table. They're kicking and kicking, and of course they'll end up kicking the seat in front of them. If they're in their own portable, comfy car seat, in the airplane seat right next to you, they can move their arms and legs as much as they want to. And you know what? They'll go to sleep faster and they'll remain asleep longer.
Ellie in Levittown has a contrarian question to this whole premise. Hi, Ellie.
Hi there.
So?
Well, I traveled with three children and I can give you my experience. The kids didn't get too much out of it except when are we going to stop and when are we going to eat, when is there a pool, and I had all those things. My husband and I got very little out of the experience. What's the point of taking children 4 and 6 on a long plane ride? I mean, they can...
stay with grandma.
Send them away to summer camp when they get a little bit older and do it on your own.
Ellie's got a point, doesn't she, Wendy?
Well, sure. I mean, you can choose to do that, or you could. I mean, I think all kids are different. I mean, me personally, I have to travel a lot for work, and so I take my family whenever I can because I don't get enough time with my kids as it is. So for me, I definitely want to take them along as much as possible. And I think there are a lot of business travelers out there who are trying to take their kids along on whatever trips they can. And I mean, there are certainly family-friendly resorts you could go to also. You know, one I've heard good things about, for instance, is they have a Beaches in Turks and Caicos. Beaches resorts, other resort chains, some Club Meds are where you can, you know, hopefully your kids can be entertained and kind of occupied the whole time. You can put them into a child care program so that the parents can actually get a little R&R.
If you can afford that kind of thing, that's a good thing. Club Med, I gather, has that too, where they'll take, at a lot of their locations, kids into a sort of children's day program. And,
yeah.
And parents can come and, you know, put the kids in and out as many times as they want during the day.
Exactly. You put them in and out whenever you want. And they have different programs for different age groups. I think that's key as well. There are also cruises. In fact, I was just on a cruise in March with my kids and my husband out of New York City. We went down to the Bahamas. And that also was for work, but I found it really worked well.
See, now when you're a travel editor at Condé Nast Traveler, oh, I went to the Bahamas. Yeah, it was for work, though. So you could do that.
But I have to say, it was the most relaxing thing I've done in a very, very, very long time, because we put the kids in the daycare program. You know, they could basically be in there from morning till evening if we wanted. When we stopped in ports, we got off and explored with the kids. But then when we came back to the ship, they had a fabulous time doing all these activities in the child care center.
We're talking about how to make travel with children a real vacation, not just a change of venue, with Wendy Perrin, consumer news editor at Condé Nast Traveler. And Bill in Long Island has some experience or just a thought.
Yeah, I'm also a business traveler, Brian. And so I understand all the last caller said, and I agree with a lot of it. But one thing I've noticed is that if you're not going on a cruise, if you're not going to a theme park or a family destination, the kids couldn't care less where they're going. It's they don't necessarily want to visit a relative that they don't know very well. They don't want to go to a museum. So what I do with my family is weekend getaways to suite hotels that specialize in the business travel trade. So they're booked Sunday night through Thursday night. But on the weekends, you can get essentially a two-bedroom apartment for $100 a night or less. The kids love it because they get the free buffet. They get to run around there.
Right. So you're saying if you can afford it, stay in the hotels because they've got that stuff you were saying. They have pools. They have game rooms, things like that.
Right.
If you can afford
pools,
that kind
game
of
rooms. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Between the lodge net and the games that the hotel has.
Right. So rather than just rent a house, as Wendy was saying before. Yeah. Wendy, what about that?
Well, it makes sense. I mean, I think you can get great deals on the weekend when the business travelers aren't traveling, you know, on the weekend in big cities, at these all suite hotels. I think, I mean, if I were to do that personally, I'd be choosing cities with a lot of fun activities for kids. One that just pops into my mind is Baltimore. I love Baltimore for kids. It's got the best children's museum I've found yet. The Port Discovery Museum and the aquarium, and it's really near Washington, D.C., and it's near Annapolis, and there's just a ton to do. So, I mean, I think that's a great idea.
Bill, thanks a lot. When we continue with Wendy Perrin in a minute, we will also be joined by Hollis Gillespie, a former flight attendant, who is the travel columnist for Pace magazine, and wait till you hear some of her horror stories of people who took kids on airplanes. Stay with us. And by the way, for those of you who are politically obsessed, you should sign up for our free weekly podcast, Digesting Politics. WNYC political director Andrea Bernstein and I talking about the presidential campaign every week in a web-only feature that you won't hear on the radio. You can sign up for Digesting Politics for free at WNYC.org. With all the stuff going on this week, we'll be recording another one tomorrow, and you won't want to miss it. But right now, we're talking about traveling with children, with our special weekly guest for the month of May, Wendy Perrin, consumer news editor at Condé Nast Traveler, and also with us now, Hollis Gillespie, a former flight attendant, a translator who speaks three languages. She's also the travel columnist for Paste magazine. Her third book, Trailer Trashed, My Dubious Attempts at Upward Mobility, is coming out this summer. Hollis, welcome to WNYC.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
I can't resist but to ask, upward mobility from flight attendant?
Yes, exactly, and from living in a trailer park.
Did you really tell my producer off the air that when you were a flight attendant, you saw people trying to put their infant children in the overhead bin?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I don't, you know, I mean, when they have their young kids, the overhead bin looks kind of cozy, you know. They come, they sit down, they, you know, take some pillows, make a little bed up there, and try to put their babies up there.
Yikes. Do you ever see the movie Baby Boom with Diane Keaton?
I did, yeah.
Right, where she's this busy businesswoman, and she doesn't want to be saddled with this baby at all, and she goes to a restaurant for a business meeting and tries to check the baby with the coat check?
I didn't remember that part until now.
But so that's like what people were doing with the overhead bin?
Well, they just, I didn't think of it that way. I just thought that they just... It looked comfortable. It looked like a cozy place to put a child, so they decided they were going to put it in the overhead bin.
What else
with
did
all
you...
the other luggage and, you know.
What else did you see as a flight attendant?
Over-medicated children.
What do you mean?
Well, I was an international flight attendant, so these flights were that I usually worked were 8 hours long, and people would bring their children on board, and they'd just give them so much medicine.
Ambien, or what are we talking about? Benadryl?
So much. I mean,
of
to
what?
The point where we almost had to land the plane in Newfoundland once because the child had been so over-medicated.
When you say over-medicated, do you mean like Benadryl or something to knock them out?
Right, Benadryl to knock them out, whether they have like a sinus infection or not. But on the other hand...
It's starting a lifetime of great habits, don't you think?
These kids, but I kind of get it. And I actually carry with me, just as a passenger on a plane, I carry... children, you know, baby Benadryl or baby cold medicine. Even though my child is 8 and she's not a baby, I actually have it in case there is a child on the plane who has a sinus infection and the parents didn't know it before they brought the child on board.
You're the Tylenol PM fairy.
That's totally what I am. You should see the relief on their face. I was like, would you like? I don't even have to finish the sentence. They snap it out of my hand.
Wendy Perrin is sitting here looking horrified.
Well, no. Sometimes, I mean, definitely you need to keep their ears from giving, you know, from being too painful.
Oh, I don't mean horrified because of that, but because medication being used to knock them out.
Yeah, no, I just, you know, well, the weird thing is I know that some people talk about giving the kids children's Benadryl. The thing is, I just hope parents all realize if you're going to do that, test it out on the kids several days before the flight, because that can also have the effect of making your kid overly excited, which, of course, you don't want on the plane.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah. That's absolutely true.
But sometimes I have given my kids, if they seem to have a little bit of the cold, sometimes I'll give them some infant Tylenol, like, you know, 40 minutes before liftoff, just to protect their ears a little bit during the ascent.
I never figured that out about the warning on the Benadryl. The same medicine that's supposed to knock you out might make you hyper. But there it is. Hollis, when you were a flight attendant, did you hate having kids on the plane?
No, I like them so much more than their parents. But
you like them more than their parents like them?
Yes, I did.
Or you like them more than having their parents?
I'm not that proud of my performance as a flight attendant. It was really just a facility for me as a writer. But I loved the kids. I really did. I thought they were, you know. And I want to say, too, that when parents have children on the plane and the children are crying, it's like babies. I'm talking infants. And when infants are crying and you can't quiet them, I really believe that it's the parent that is more stressed out than any of the passengers around them. I know the passengers around them, you know, are feeling a little put out by it, but it's nothing. And the parents are, I think, in so much more agony than any of the parents, than any of the passengers around them.
They are more
humiliated. We sympathize. Had kids, too.
The parents of the crying children are more humiliated than the other passengers are annoyed. Is that what you're saying?
I wouldn't say humiliated, but I'd say stressed out, you know, that they are annoying the other passengers.
And they're also stressed out because they want to make their child feel better.
Right. Well, yeah.
You know which passengers must be the worst at dealing with the crying baby? Those who are on vacation from their own crying baby. I paid $600 to get away from this? Josh in Morris County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Josh.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. What do you do with kids?
Well, I actually am a teen, so I don't do much with kids yet.
Okay.
But I've had experience with, especially on, if you have the money, going on a cruise, especially with the company Carnival, they oftentimes, not only do they have, like, classic, the ballrooms and the dances and the bars, but for kids, they have mini golf, they have a big pool, some even have cinemas. They have things so that while the parents are enjoying themselves, they don't have to worry about their kids running off and doing something
Are you one of these people who a company pays to kind of talk up their product?
Actually, no, I'm not.
Just making sure, since you mentioned the brand name. Yeah, but that's a good idea. I don't know. Is that, and Josh, thanks a lot. Wendy, is that a good idea, a cruise, because of all those amenities that Josh was just talking about? Or once you get on the boat, are you just like in jail with no escape?
No, I actually think that's why I really enjoyed the cruise we took in March. And there are several different cruise lines that do have amazing facilities for kids and programs for kids. Carnival, Royal Caribbean, Norwegian Cruise Line, Princess, they're all very good. And what we liked about our cruise was that, of course, we could put the kids in childcare, but also there were ways to exercise the kids to get all of their energy out while our physical exertion could be kept at a minimum. I mean, for instance, a water slide. How great is a water slide? Once your kids know how to swim, they just wear themselves out and you don't have to do anything. I mean, that to me was the goal, is so that the parents don't have to lift a finger and yet they can wear out the kids on the basketball court, the water slide, the rock climbing wall.
And without the Benadryl.
Right. And those are all things they have on the big mass ships these days.
Just no water slide into the ocean, right?
Oh, God.
From our comments page, I never understood the point of taking small kids to places overseas such as Spain. It seems like a waste of money to me. You don't really appreciate the change of culture and the different atmosphere until puberty, at least.
I mean, I have to disagree with that. I feel like my kids, they're not only are they still talking about Spain and the little kids they met, because of course we took them to a local school. Of course we met a lot of the people. They played soccer with the kids in the streets. They're still talking about Spain. And in fact, they're still talking about Jamaica and Italy and all the other places I've taken them. I think not only do they get something from being around another culture? And I think it's very important for them to open their eyes to see how other people in other places around the world live, how other kids live.
I want to be your kid.
My daughter speaks. My daughter's been to 13 countries, and she's 8 years old.
Wow.
And it's also the memories that you, she has, put the photo books together, and I can bring them to her class. Just the other day, I was the mystery reader at her class, and it was May's Adventures at Home and Abroad, and she can say the word ladybug in five languages. And I took her to Italy with me to try to pick up the Italian language, and I left her with a nanny for 4 hours a day as I studied the Italian language, and she learned more Italian than I did. And she retained it. I mean, it's an amazing, it's amazingly enriching to a child,
all
no
right.
matter what age they are.
Hollis, you're going to hate this one from our comments page. It says, we always traveled with a ball and our two boys. In the airport, we would find an empty area and toss the ball, roll the ball, run, and generally allow the children to use their energy. Then when they had to get on the plane, they were just beginning to use their good behavior and weren't already getting nudgy. How about a ball? I hope it was a foam ball and not like.
I love that idea. Let them, because I don't work the concourse. I'm in the plane. Let them, run all haggard on the concourse. They get on the plane and they can just conk.
By the way, you coined the phrase airplane behavior, didn't you?
With my daughter, yeah. She knows airplane behavior. I always tell her, I need some airplane behavior out of you. And she knows exactly what that means, so that she can be, that she can't act up on the airplane. She can't start demanding things from the flight attendant. I hate that when they're not gracious to the flight attendant. And it's just my own personal, she needs to behave. And this is a experience that we're going on. And it's an adventure. And I don't want it sullied by surliness and bad behavior and stress.
From the comments page, Triangle X Ranch in Wyoming. The kids get their own horses for the week. Posted by Chuck. Of course he's named Chuck. And another one. I know you're not taking comments on Disney World, but I would like to suggest it is one of the worst places to take kids. My wife and I went with our sister's family, and everything about the place sucks the life out of children. Thankfully, the lines weren't outrageous, but the sheer amount of things to buy caused the family stress and ultimately upset the kids, who felt like they really needed to buy stuff. Linda, you've heard this?
I haven't heard that, but I find it refreshing. And I have no plans to take my kids to Disney World. I can see that. I can see how, you know, when you give kids sort of too much choice and too much stimulation, they just get cranky because, yeah.
I agree. I my daughter doesn't even think Disney World is a big deal. I mean, we went to Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio, which is the roller coaster capital of the world, and she likes that place way better than Disney World. And it's a small, you know, it's a small, quaint, cute kind of, you know, amusement park.
Yeah, well, your child was to 18 countries before she went to preschool. But maybe it's all about lowering expectations. One of our producers has an Australian friend here who flies back to Sydney every year with the three small kids. She said that she goes into it thinking that it's going to be the worst 24 hours of her entire life, and it's usually not that bad. So we leave it there on Traveling for Children with Hollis Gillespie from Paste Magazine and Wendy Perrin from Condé Nast Traveler. Wendy, we'll see you again next week.
Terrific.
Hollis, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.